Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 1 to 3. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. These are the words of God. Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do now come to you, Lord, seeking your help to have the word preached and to have it heard. Give us, Lord, the strength and energy to do both. And also, Lord, that we may apply it in our hearts and in our living before your face. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week in Hosea 5, we saw three ways in which Israel was seeking something. And first, it was seeking God dishonestly. They dealt with Him treacherously. And then second, they were seeking the world's cure for their ills, for which no one could rescue them except the Lord. And then in the last part of verse 15, we see that the Lord was telling them that they would seek Him earnestly after their affliction. And so this is in keeping with the good news of Jesus Christ. For even today, when we present the good news of Christ, we must also present the bad news. And Israel has now been presented the bad news. But here in Hosea chapter 6, they are going to hear the good news. And so this is a presentation, really, of the gospel. For the bad news is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, as we read in Romans 6. Eternal death, separation from God. But the good news is that while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so here in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, we have a very strong, maybe one of the strongest presentations of the gospel in the Old Testament. For Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, 44 to 46, He was speaking to some of His disciples. He said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." I hope as we read Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, that you see the gospel pouring out of this passage. That you see the gospel being proclaimed to these people who were living in the reality of the bad news, of not being able to find God, of being torn apart by God, because in their sins they had offended this holy God, the one and only living and true God. But now the good news of God is being proclaimed to them. Though they are dead in their sins, there is hope for life. It is the life that was once taken away by God, but now has been restored by God. And this life that He is restoring is not just any life. It is life in His sight. It is a life that is pleasing to the Lord to look upon. Chapter 5, verse 15 prophesied that this would happen to them. And Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 speaks of how this will be a success. And as it is the path to life for them, it's also the path to life for us. Here in verses 1 to 3 are the means of grace for salvation for Israel and for us. It is also the means of God's grace for a backslidden sinner who is a Christian in order for him to return to the Lord. So as Christians, we need to see and hear this bad news, good news message. It is for us who have been saved by God's grace, and it is for those who yet need to be saved by God's grace in Christ Jesus. It is about repentance. It is about turning away from our sin and turning to the only God who can heal us and give us life in His sight. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 15, verse 4, chapter 15 speaks of repentance to life, saying, as there is no sin so small but that it deserves damnation, so is there no sin so great that it can bring damnation upon those who truly repent. I think it is true, and I believe wholeheartedly that it is true, that we must believe that God is a God of forgiveness, or we'll never come to God. We must believe He is a God who heals, who binds up, who revives and gives life, or we'll never come by faith to God. So Hosea 6, verses 1 to 3 is the good news message declared not only to Israel, but to us, to the church, and to the world. So we're going to look at verses 1 to 3 in these ways. One, the pleading of the prophet, the first part of verse 1. Secondly, the promise of God in verses 1 and 2. And thirdly, the pursuit of the people. So let's look at verse 1, the first part of verse 1a, the pleading of the prophet. There is some question as to who is speaking here. Is it the people saying, as a congregation or as a group, come and let us return to the Lord, or is it the prophet Hosea? I take it to be the prophet Hosea speaking for the Lord, for this is how the book starts out, the word of the Lord which came to Hosea. It is through Hosea that God has been speaking to them, using this man's voice to call them to return to the Lord. And this is what He's doing right here. Through the prophet, the Lord is calling His people to return to Him. And He is pleading with them. He is pleading with them. He's seeking to persuade them by an argument, to supplicate with them with earnestness, to urge, to press in on them to return to the Lord. This is the prophet's pleading. And this is much like what Paul does in 2 Corinthians 5:20, where he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This verse could have been the same verse that was said in Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. This is what Hosea is doing, pleading with them to hear God's message of forgiveness, pleading with them to hear God's message that He is a life-giving God, that He will revive them. It's not a pleading on the prophet's behalf, on the prophet's work here, as if to beg, but a pleading for them to turn away from their sins and return to the Lord. This pleading of Hosea, saying come, was a command. It was not a question. It was not asking for a favor. He was pleading with them on the Lord's behalf, who is commanding them to come and return to the Lord. And God had every right to do it. He was their covenant God. They had even agreed to this covenant. They had covenanted with Him to be their God, and they would be His people. And so He is exercising the rights of that covenant to command and call them to come back to Him. And that's the most important thing about this pleading of the prophet, to come back to Him. Yes, there is a call here, implied, and also in chapter 5, verse 15, to turn away from sin. But it's not to turn away from sin and turn to some neutral situation, but to turn away from sin and to turn to the Lord. That's the most important part of this call or this pleading that Hosea is doing with Israel, to return to the Lord. Now this is significant, for it addresses the problem of chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, they did not turn to the Lord with their deeds, or verse 13, of them seeking for a spiritual problem to solve a spiritual problem with worldly solutions. They were turning in all the wrong directions. They were turning to other gods. They were turning to other nations, partly because they did not recognize what their problem was. They only saw the symptom of it. They did not recognize that these other things could not heal them. But here they are being called to return to the Lord, which is to receive God's grace. To even be called by the Lord to return to Him is a grace of God. The Lord could have just written them off. He could have let them perish with no hope of ever being reconciled to Him. But that would be uncharacteristic of this God. For He is a God who keeps covenant. He is a God who keeps His promises. And they and we are being called to turn away from false gods, to turn away from sin, whatever it might be, whether great or small, and to turn to the Lord of the universe, the one being who is self-existent, who is holy and totally other than any other being. That is who you're being called to return to when the Lord calls you to repent of sin. He's calling you to come to Him for grace and mercy and forgiveness. The Lord who is holy and like no other is calling to His people, return to Me. Come back to Me. And the word Lord here is Jehovah God. This is not just His title. It is the name He has given to Himself. When Moses asked God, when God was sending him back into Egypt to speak to Pharaoh and the people, and he said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" God said to Moses, "Tell them, I am has sent you. Tell them that I am has sent you. There's no other like me. There's no other being like me. I am Jehovah, the one and only living and true God. I am the only one who exists in and of Himself." And now it is this God, this holy God, who is calling Israel and us to come to Him, to the Lord of lords and God of gods and kings of kings. Hosea's message is not turn away from sin. His message is turn away from sin and return to the Lord. Because the Lord is ready to receive you. The Lord is ready to heal you and to bind you up. This is the Lord you're being called to turn to. This is what He is promising to those who come to Him. He is promising this healing. He is promising this life to those who deserve just the opposite, like Israel, like me, and like you. God calls us to come to Him that we might have the promises that He has declared here. And that's what we see in verses 1 and 2, the promises of God. The prophet now pleads with them to see God's mercy and grace. He calls to man to come to Him, to come and be received by Him, to be healed and bandaged up by Him. The very one we have offended with our sin calls us to come and be healed by Him. This is the pleading of the prophet. Turn from your sin and return to the Lord. What a means of grace that God would look at man and see that there is none righteous, there is none who is seeking Him. All are wicked. All have gone their own way. And yet He calls them. He calls us to come to Him to be healed of our diseases, to be healed of our sicknesses, which is death. And that's what man is suffering. That's what Israel is suffering. In Hosea chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, it was not telling us that Israel was just suffering from a little sickness. If we look back there, verse 13 tells us, "When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound." Their sickness was death and sin. That is what they needed to be healed of. Lions, as was spoken of there in Hebrews or Hosea chapter 5, that God said He would be like a lion, like a young lion. They do not come and just wrestle their prey to the ground and then walk away. They do not come and just injure their prey. They come, they kill, and they eat, then they walk away. This was Israel's condition. This was their judgment from God. This is the bad news. But the good news is the same one who attacks and destroys and brings judgment is the same one who heals and rescues. This is the God they are being called to return to. These are the promises that God makes to them. The same God who brings death also brings life. Verse 1b tells us, He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. This is the same He. He who has brought the judgment will bring the mercy. He who has brought the calamity upon them will bring the grace. It is God all in one. Deuteronomy 32:39 tells us, Now see that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand. This is the God we are being called to come to, that we may be healed of our diseases, the sickness of sin and death. How will He do that? How will He deliver us from the death of His wrath? It is no coincidence of what He speaks of here in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up. I hope that speaks loudly to your ears and reminds you of what God has done in Jesus Christ. This is what Christ was talking about when He said the prophets spoke of Him according to the Scriptures. Here is a speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, what would happen to Christ, and what happens to all those who are united to Him. In 1 Peter 1:12, He tells us of these things, saying of the prophets, this is what they were doing. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. According to this Scripture. According to Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also speaking about all those who would be united to Him by faith. We see also in another place that this is a declared proof of the Messiah, speaking of Jesus of Himself. In Luke 4:18, quoting from the book of Isaiah, Jesus said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is the message of Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Return to the Lord, and He will heal you. He will make you, who once were dead in sin, alive in Christ. And just as Christ was revived and raised upon the third day, so shall all those who are in Christ be revived, be given new life. And this scripture here in Hosea shows it that those who come to the Lord for life are united to Christ in His resurrection. Just as we read in Romans chapter 6, declaring, We are united together in the likeness of His death, and certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And just as Christ was raised up from the dead, so shall all those who come to God through Him, they too shall be given new life and raised from the dead. Why would the Lord do such a thing? Because without it, we have no hope. But with it, the Scripture tells us here, in the last part of verse 2, that we may live in His sight. Now, over the weeks and months that I've been preaching here, we have often come across the phrase, something about God's sight or God's face or God's favor. We've often seen that in the Word of God, what it is to have the Lord look upon us, to live in His sight. You remember, He looked at Abel and his offering, but He would not look at Cain and his offering, meaning He received Abel, but did not receive Cain. Even in the blessing that we hear at the end of our worship services from Numbers 6:25, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is what we're talking about. Living in God's sight is to have his favorable grace upon us. It is to be received by the Lord. It is to be in his presence. To live in the sight, to live in the sight of God is to be communing with him. To have a communing relationship with him, abiding in him and him abiding in us. Romans 6:4 tells us, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is one sense in which we look forward to our final resurrection. I hope you're looking forward to that as a believer. But there is also another sense in which we have already been revived and resurrected. We have already been taken from the dead and made to be alive in Christ Jesus, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. And Romans chapter 6 tells us we've been raised so that we could walk in newness of life. Not like we used to, but walk in newness of life as we are united to Christ. To walk on this earth in newness of life is to live in God's sight, is to live by his grace and his favor. Paul in Colossians 1:9 tells them he was praying that they would be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So living in God's sight is not just a future thing of being in the presence of God for eternity, but it's also a now thing. We live before his face. We live in God's sight. Doesn't mean that he's looking at us, though he is. It means that he is showing grace and favor to us. To live in God's sight is to have him look upon us with grace and favor. And so when we are called to turn to the Lord, it is the Lord of life, the one who heals and gives life, the one who revives and resurrects from the dead, that we may live in his sight. Verse 2 says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. And so it is God who is calling to the people of Israel and calling to us, saying, come to me for life. Not just future life, but life today. Life in my sight, where I can look upon you with favor and grace. And this is all his doing. The scripture says here in verse 1 and 2, he will heal us, he will bind us up, he will revive us, and he will resurrect us. It is he who's going to give us life. And this life, it all comes through knowing him. Knowing who he is and knowing that what he has done was because only he could do it. And we could not. The deadness of Israel, if you recall, was attributed in chapter 4 and 5 to not knowing the Lord. But now with the hope of God turning towards them who turn to him, the scripture tells us they shall know him and they are to pursue knowing him, which is what we see in our third point in verse 3, the pursuing of the people. Pursuing of the people. We pursue a lot of things. We chase after a lot of things. But here is the people of God, as people who have by faith been given life in his sight, we are called to pursue the Lord. This hope laid out before us here, to whom life is given in Christ, is accompanied by a pursuit of knowing God. And when you think about your relationship with the Lord, I just want to ask you this question right now. Is that what you're pursuing? Because if you're pursuing knowing God, you are chasing after him. You are going after him to know him more and more. To know him in a greater way. And when you are in pursuit of something, as is stated here, you don't catch up with it and then say, okay, I've got it, this is good enough. You keep pursuing this. And this is part of being alive to God, living in God's sight. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That they would know Him. Just exactly the opposite of what was charged them in chapters 4 and 5, that they did not have any knowledge of the Lord. Now the Lord is saying, because I'm going to give you life, you are to pursue knowing Me. And not just knowing facts about Him, but knowing Him like a husband is to know a wife. Like a man and woman who come together and are one flesh, being united together. This is knowing the Lord. And the latter part of verse 3 tells us He's not hard to find. His going forth is like the sun rising up in the morning. He is there. He is able to be found. And He is ready to receive His people. John 17:3 tells us, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. How are we to pursue knowing the Lord? We talked about some of that in our education hour already today. We pursue the Lord through the means of grace, through His Word, through prayer, through the sacraments, through worship, through all things in Jesus Christ. For He is like the rain, the Scripture tells us here in Hosea 6. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth, causing all things to grow. This is what God promises to us. He promises that He will heal, He will bind up, He will rescue, He will revive us, and He will enable us to live with His favor in His sight. I, like Hosea, plead with you, Christian, if you are living in sin, if you have backslidden into a life of sinful practices, then this is a call to you as well, to come and return to the Lord. He is like the sun that rises in the morning. He can be found. And He promises to revive your soul. He promises to give you life. He promises to heal you and bind you up. Another prophet also called out once saying, come. And this was Jesus. He said, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. The Lord calls us to come to Him because He's ready to receive us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is ready to receive you, Christian, who already have come to Him by faith. He is ready to receive you and forgive you of your sins. Even if you have backslidden, even if you have continued in those sins, He is ready to receive you when you turn to Him, repenting and turning away from your sin. I've been trying through this whole book of Hosea to persuade us to not think of this as just a history book or just written to Israel. The principles that are being laid down here are true for us as well. The Lord is waiting for His people to turn to Him. Christian, we must be convinced that God is ready to forgive you of your sins. We must be convinced that these promises that are laid out here in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, that God is ready to put them into application into our life as well. The Lord is waiting for His people to turn to Him as they turn away from sin. And what does He promise? Healing, binding up, rescue, revival, and life in His sight. So Hosea the prophet is saying to us, turn away from your sin, come to the Lord, and live in His sight. May God, by His Spirit, help us to do it. Amen.